Okay. Quickly go through our list of refuah shlemo. Devar Batina, Oz Avram Shimon Ben Chana, Karmi Panima, Orli Panina, Bat Racha Frida, Chaya Malka Esther Bat Zippora, Daniel Ben Miriam Chaya Rut, Yoshua Felek Ben Lina. Okay. We're starting with the very bottom of Kaf Vav Amud Bet. Amar Shmuel. Yisa Adam Duma, Va'al Yisa Bat Duma. We got a really interesting start to our daf. A man should marry a woman who sleeps around rather than marrying the daughter of a woman who sleeps around. Okay, the word duma seems to mean someone who there were rumors about. It's not always used in a negative sense. Sometimes it could be in a positive sense. In this case, it's clearly a negative sense. Point is about someone who's suspected of having slept with other men, only suspected, not proven. But basically, I'm going to say this in other words, better to marry, right? It's more likely like that. Better to marry if you have a choice. If there's only two women left in the world for you to marry, or somehow you can't marry anybody else, better to marry a woman who's the one who sleeps around rather than the daughter. Why? Shezo ba mitipak shera v'zo ba mitipak psula. In other words, right, the daughter of a woman who slept around or possibly slept around would possibly be a mamzeret. So better off not marrying a woman like that. The Rabbi Yochanan Amar, we're going to hear the opposite. Yisa adam bat duma va'al yisa duma. Better to marry the daughter than the woman herself. Shezo omedet b'chezkat kashrut, v'zo eina omedet b'chezkat kashrut. Because one, you know, just because she's the daughter doesn't mean that she's about, you know, she's at least okay herself. The woman who's potentially sleeping around, she's obviously more problematic. Okay, now we're going to have a question on Rabbi Yochanan. We can debate this. I don't think we're going to go there today. Meitive, remember, Meitive means we're going to ask a question on an emora from a Tanaitic source. So Rabbi Yochanan's an emora from Eretz Israel, and they're asking a question on him from a braita. Nose adam duma. It says in a braita, a man should marry a woman who sleeps around, or is suspected of sleeping around. So they say, so how could you say the bat duma if it says you should marry a duma? So immediately Rava says, wait a minute, I'm a Rava. What kind of a source are you bringing? A man should marry a woman who's suspected of sleeping around. What do you mean a man should marry one? Okay, if you're going to the shuk to figure out who to marry, you should marry a woman who's suspected of sleeping around. So what's he say? What's his point? His point is, there's obviously, this isn't the way it was supposed to be read. Okay, there's a mistake in this braita, because the braita clearly doesn't mean go find a woman, you know, marry her who's suspected. So therefore, what does he say? Therefore, we have to fix the Mishnah, right? This braita. This braita, ela im nasa tnei. Ela im nasa. It should read im nasa, and therefore, tnei nami bat duma. Now, this is a typical structure. You have someone who is... there's a braita that we're concerned is, you know, there's some sort of problem in the way it was passed down, because clearly this doesn't mean nose adam duma. It means im nasa duma, it's okay. So now, what are they going to say? Well, once you're fixing the braita, we'll fix it even more. And it should read, tananami bat duma. It should really read the daughter of a duma and not a duma itself. And that's Rabbi Yochanan. They're going to say, according to Rabbi Yochanan, he just will change that braita to fix what matches his opinion. Okay, that's once the braita was mistakenly passed down, then there's a little more flexibility to say, oh, it's even more mistaken. Okay, there's more mistakes in it. Because the assumption is, whoever brought it obviously wasn't being careful about how they transmitted it. So they were talking about duma, and now they say v'hilchata, and the halacha is yisa adam bat duma v'al yisa duma. Okay, now they say the halacha actually is, this isn't so common, we got a halachic psak in the Gemara, the halacha is a man should better marry the daughter rather than the woman herself. Now we're going to see why. Because what about mamzerut issue, right? Didn't we just say from the very beginning she's from Tipas Rufa and Tipas Psula, and therefore shouldn't we be concerned? So now they say, Detani Rav Tachlifa Bar Ma'arava, Kamei de Rabbi Avau. Okay, Rav Tachlifa, the son of Ma'arava, brought a... That's his name, Ma'arava? Mm-hmm. Or I wonder if it means he's from Ma'arava.
This says from, of the West.
Yeah, it makes more sense to say that he's from Ma'arava. In front of Rabbi Avahu, okay, he brought this braita, and he said, Isha mazna baneha ksherim. Even a woman who sleeps around, her children are ksherim. Why? Because rov be'ilot achar ha'ba'al. There's an assumption that even if she's a little, you know, out there, the assumption is that most, right, we go by rove. In general, in halacha, we go by rove. And the assumption is that most of the times she slept with someone, it was actually her husband, even if here and there she slept around. So now Gemara is going to ask an obvious question. By Rav Amram. So now basically what are they saying? There's this assumption of rove. So even if you marry the daughter of a woman who's suspected of having slept around, you can still assume, right, she's not really a mamzeret, this girl, because we go by rove. And the sense is that most of the be'ilot go after the baal, and therefore, based on rove, this woman's not a mamzeret. So by Rav Amram, haita prutza b'yoter mahu. What if she was really prutza? In other words, you might say a regular woman, so most of the time she's with her husband, once in a while maybe she's sleeping around, but a woman who's known that she sleeps around all the time, so what do we do with that? So now they're going to say, this is very interesting, okay, different tfisot in those times about when women ovulate, okay? So now they're going to say, Aliba demanda amar eini shamata beret ela samuch levesta lo tibailach de lo yadabe velo mintarla. Okay, we're going to have a few assumptions here. Number one, there's going to be a machloket weather. We assume that a woman gets pregnant, okay, she ovulates close to the time she gets her next period, or close to the time she goes to the mikvah, okay? There's two possibilities here about when women ovulate according to the Gemara. And now we're going to say that there's an assumption that if there's a woman who's sleeping around, her husband will make sure, or maybe he will, maybe he won't, but if he knows when she's ovulating, then what will he do? What will he do? He'll make sure that those days she's ovulating, she's with him, so that they don't end up with problems, okay? And that's the assumption of the Gemara, that the husband will, mintarla, is watch over the woman on those days, or maybe not. That's going to be the question, okay? So what does he say? So again, our question is, if she's prutza b'yoter, then maybe we can't say that rov b'ilot go after the ba. Okay? So now, what do we say? Aliba demanda amar eini shama daberet ela samuch levesta. If you say that a woman's not medaberet unless it's samuch levesta, then lo tibailach. We're not going to have a question at all. Why? To lo yadaba, the assumption is he has no idea when she's supposed to get her period, when she's samuch levesta. That he doesn't know. In other words, the assumption here is, there's a whole bunch of assumptions. Okay, right? Assumption is, when is she ovulating, right? Is it before she gets her period, or is it after she goes to the mikvah? And the other thing is, the husband doesn't know when she is supposed to get her period. And therefore, lo yadaba v'lo mintarla. And therefore, he's certainly not going to watch over her. And therefore, what are we going to assume? If she's prutza b'yoter, then we can't assume that rov b'ilot achar habaal, because he's going to have no control over her, because he has no clue when to be in control over her.
So you can't assume anything.
And therefore, you can't assume anything about the kids, and you have to assume that maybe she's mamzeret. And in that case, you shouldn't marry the bat duma. If she's the daughter of someone who's prutza b'yoter, as opposed to someone who's just regular prutza, okay? So that's number one. But then they say, ki tibailach, but the question really is asked, aliba demanda amar, according to the one who says, eini shama daberet ela samuch litvilata. So then you say, my, and the assumption is the husband obviously knows when she goes to the mikvah. So my, kevan di yadaba niture mintarla, do we assume, even if she's prutza b'yoter, since he knows that this is her time of the month, and this is when she's going to ovulate, he's going to watch over her more. O dilma kevan de prutza b'yoter lo. Or are we going to say that since she's so out there, that basically, right, her husband can't control her, right? It's an obvious jump, because if a woman is sleeping around with lots of people, clearly, he's not going to have any control over being able to control her or not. So, teku. Okay, the Gemara answers, obviously, in this case, we don't know the answer to this question. We don't know how much men can be in control of women who are prutza b'yoter, and therefore we're left with a question. Okay, interesting sugya. Ve'elu shebeitin. Now we're going back to the line about when the beitin can come in and do the kinui instead of somebody else. Remember, instead of the husband who is cheresh, shoteh, right? There were all different options. We're going to see more. Now we're going to see a braita. Kind of puts them all together. Tana Rabbanan. And this braita is very similar to our Mishnah, except what's the difference? Okay, this is very common. The Mishnah often doesn't connect the halachot back to the psukim. It's a general approach of the text. Whereas when you have a midrash halacha or some other type of text, often they connect it back to the psukim and learn it out from the psukim. So here we go. Tanu Rabbanan, Ish. Ma tamu lomar, Ish. I'm sorry, Ish. Right? The pasuk says, Ish, Ish, ki tistei sho. Remember that pasuk? So now they say, Ma tamu lomar, Ish, Ish. And as we understand Ish, but why does it say Ish, Ish? Lirabo, to include Eshet chireish ve'eshet shota ve'eshet shiamum shalach ba'ala l'medinat hayam v'shayach havush b'beit asurim. Okay, here we have the added one that the ba'ala was b'medinat hayam. If you remember, we mentioned it the other day, but it didn't appear in the text. So now we have, is that where the Gemara is from? Okay, oh, there. Okay. So now we have, no, she has, it's fine. She has. Okay. So ish ish lirabot. So ish ish comes to include that there's additional cases that are part of the sota, and that's all these people, right? The deaf. Remember, we said deaf means deaf and mute, not just deaf. Eshet shota. Okay, I saw in the Koran they had a translation of shota. They called an imbecile, and the eshet shiamum was insane. Someone who's insane. Shaamum. Okay. Shaamum. Thank you. And the husband. It says shiamum there. Yeah. I'm sure. Yeah. Okay, right. Shiamum is boredom. Obviously, it doesn't mean that here, but right, could be shiamum, shiamum. Okay, and halach ba'ala l'medina hayam. Okay, the husband goes abroad, or he was in bebet hasurin, he was in jail. Shebeitim mekanim lehem leposlam miktubatan. Exactly what we saw in the Mishnah, right? That they're posel mi maktuba. Yachol af lahashkotan. Now we have this machloket, right? You might have thought the kinoi, right? That they're also allowed to do the kinoi so that they can have them drink. Talmud Lomar, and here we're going to see it in the Pesukim. Vehevi ha'ish et ishto. Okay, you have to look at Bamidbar he'tepav. Vehevi ha'ish et ishto ela kohen. Vehevi et korbana. Okay, so the husband brings his wife. And there, one second, it's... Right, he brings his wife to the Kohen, Vehaviyat Korbanah, so they say he has to be the one to do it, right? There has to be a connection between the Kinoi and the Stira. The Kinoi appears in the Pasuk before. So it says Vikine, it doesn't say this in the text, but it should say Vikine Vehavi, right? In other words, here we're going to see it, right? And then they're going to say it in a minute, but the Kinoi has to be, the Kinoi and the Hava'ah have to be from the same person. So therefore, it doesn't work Lahashkotan, meaning what? That if they did the kinoi, and then she was nisteret, and then he comes back, let's say mibeit asurin, or he gets cured from whatever, you know, he all of a sudden can speak or hear or something like that. So then, question is, could he bring her to drink the waters based on the kinoi that they did for him? According to opinion number one, no, because the vikinei vehevi have to be the same person. So all they can do is liposlamik tubata. Right, and to make her forbidden to him, but they can't have him drink the waters. But Rabbi Yossi Amar Af Lahashkota Ulachashiyetse Ba'ala Mibeit Hasurin Yishakena. In other words, even Lashkota, not meaning that they can never drink the waters, but meaning that based on their kinoi, then she can drink the waters after. B'mai Kami Palge, what's their machloket about? Rabbanan Savre Bi'inam V'kinei V'hivi. Rabbanan say you need this connection of the person who is kinei is the one who's hevi. Rabbi Yossi Savar Lo Bi'inam V'kinei V'hivi. Okay, you don't need that. You don't darshan the psukim that way. Tana Rabbanan Ashir Tistei Tachat Isha. This is something we referenced before. Now we'll see it inside. That will take us to the end of today of the parak. It says the Tistei Isha Tachat Isha. A woman. Under her husband. So now they say, what do we learn from this? Isha tachat isha. Lahakish ish li'isha v'isha li'ish. To make a hekesh. Okay, we're going to learn things. Hekeshim usually work in both directions. We're going to learn things from her to him and from him to her. Lamai hilchata. What are we saying is similar about them both? Amar of sheshet. Kishem she'im hu suma lo hayamashke. If he is blind, he can't have a drink. Why? Dichtiv v'ne'elam me'enei isha. That her husband didn't see. What does that mean? Because of that, only someone who can actually see, right, is allowed to be part of the sota. So therefore, just like if he's blind, he can't have a drink. Also if she's blind. Here we're getting, by the way, to all sorts of, again, they're excluding. This whole parak is excluding people from sota. Again, this whole mahalach to kind of minimize the actual women who can drink the sota waters. Im hayta, sorry, so kach, right, so the elamination, kach hi, im hayta suma lo hayta shota. Okay, so likewise her. Rav Ashi amar, now we're going to have a whole bunch of different ones. Kashem shechigeret begidemet lo hayta shota. Okay, chigeret, her legs aren't functioning, and gidemet is her hands don't function. Dichtiv, v'hemida kohen et ha'isha lefnei Hashem, v'natan al kapeha. Kahu, okay, so this is, right, he has to stand her up. If her legs aren't functioning properly, she can't stand up. And if her hands aren't functioning properly, he's supposed to put it on in her hand. If she doesn't have hands to put on, then it doesn't work. Kahu, im haya chiger o gidem, lo haya mashke. Okay, likewise him, if he was chiger o gidem, also he can't. Mar Rav Ashi amar, kashem she'ilemet lo hayta shota, someone who can't speak. Dichtiv, ba'amra ha'isha amen, amen. Okay, there you have it, right? She has to say amen, amen. Kahu imaya ilem lo haya mashke. Okay, hadron ala harusa. Before we go on to the next parak, I want to just go over something. I brought up a question last week. I actually brought up two questions. I couldn't remember what the second one was, what the first one was. But one question I brought up, I actually researched, someone remembers after class to remind me. One question I said, what somebody asked, they emailed me a question from listening online. There was an issue that came up about the sota, and they tear her clothes, if you remember. And then we compared it to in Skila, whether they tear her clothes. So I want to go back, and what this person brought up, actually Tosfot mentioned it also, that in Makot it also comes up. The same Lashon in our Mishnah, about they tear her clothes, and im nifremu, nifremu. And it comes up in Makot when you get lashes. And it says, basically, what do? They tear off the clothes, and the same thing, and also the idea is to whip the body rather than the clothing. Okay? So the person asked, why in Makot does it not distinguish between men and women there? There, it just, he tears off the clothes of whoever it is. It doesn't say anywhere, not in the Gemara. I looked all over. I looked in the Tosefta. I looked in the Yerushalmi. I looked to find, there seemed to be no hijachasut at all, whether there's a distinction men and women, which makes me assume that there's no distinction men and women. And when it comes to a woman, they actually tear off her clothes. And there's no issue of, you know, recovering her up, or what about if men are going to see? So the question is why? Why is it not mentioned there? So I tried to do some thinking about it, because I researched and I didn't find anybody who really discussed it. So before we get to an answer, we need to organize the difference between the three. Okay, so in Sota, we saw there was a machloket Tanakama Rabbi Yehuda. Okay, Tanakama said, I'll just refresh your memory. Tanakama said that if they rip, they rip, you know, and until her liba is, you know, her lev is revealed. And Rabbi Yehuda said, if she's beautiful, then you have to cover her up. You know, you don't do that because it'll cause hirhurim. And then immediately the Gemara said, well, what about by Skila? By Skila, it seems they have the opposite opinions. Where there, Rabbi Yehuda, who here was worried about the men looking, there isn't worried at all. And there he says that she's, you know, niskelet aruma. It's just they cover up a little more than they cover up the man, but basically she's niskelet aruma. And Tanakama says there, where Tanakama here said, it doesn't matter if we uncover her body, because why did he say that? Because we're trying linavla. The whole thing is to disgrace her. But when it comes to Skila, he says, she's not niskelet aruma. So then the Gemara gave answers as to why. So, you know, when Rabbi Yehuda says we're worried about Hiruim, why are we worried about Hiruim here and not in Skila? Because in Skila, she's going to get killed. And we're not worried that it's going to cause a man to be maharher about any woman, right? We're worried about that particular woman. That particular woman is about to die. Whereas the Sota might not die, and therefore we're worried that he shouldn't have thoughts about her. So that's Rabbi Yehuda. That's his distinction. When it comes to Sota, we're worried about her because she's going to keep living. When it comes to Skila, we're not worried about it because she's going to die. Now, if you apply that to Mako, what would you say? She's also not going to die, and therefore maybe we'd be worried about Hirhur. So, number one, it's possible that Rabbi Yehuda doesn't, in Mako, they just don't quote Rabbi Yehuda's opinion. Right? Often we have the Mishnah is quoting a particular opinion, and often the Gemara will say it. Here the Gemara doesn't actually relate to it, but it could be that Rabbi Yehuda would also disagree there. It's a possibility. I don't know. Again, I didn't see anything about it. It's a possibility. But when it comes to Tanakama, which again is the main opinion and who we Paskin like, so if you take them, what did Tanakama say? When it comes to the Sota, what's the issue? We have to linavla. That's the whole idea, to embarrass her. When it comes to Skila, what's the issue? So we want to kill her. We do want to embarrass her, but there's no more bigger embarrassment than death. Right? And what does he say in the end? Right? That there was the whole thing about the machloka between them. Is it better that she die quicker and we take off her clothes? Right? Or is it better that, you know, there's this Rorlom Adam Mitayafa. We want to basically make sure that the person has the most, right? Either that they die quickly, or maybe that we don't embarrass them any more than they need to be. And that's why Tanakhama thinks when they're going to get killed, that's the worst possible thing. They don't need any more embarrassment. But when it comes to Sota, the whole idea is to disgrace her, and therefore we're gonna take off her clothing to embarrass her. Now, when it comes to Makot, there's a similar concept of V'nikla achicha le'enecha. The person's supposed to have kalon. Kalon is embarrassment also. Shame. Okay? So we're supposed to shame the person. And it could be that part of the stripping of their clothing has to do with the same shame that appears in the Sota. And that's why, just like we do it for the Sota, according to Tanakhama, we would do it also by Makot. And therefore, that it's always a matter of balance. That outweighs the issue of the concern about men having hirurim, or that's what it seems to be. So that was a possible direction as to how to understand the difference there. But I think it definitely begs the question as to why there's no mention at all in Makot about the male-female differences. Even if there isn't a difference, it seems like the kind of thing the Gemara would have brought up and compared it, but it didn't. Okay, new parak. Today we're just going to do a Mishnah, okay, a very long Mishnah. The background to this Mishnah, this is one of those Mishnayot that goes off on tangents based on, stream of consciousness. The stream of consciousness here, people are missing Gemaras. If you go
Everybody
into the...
Has the Hebrew text.
Okay, everyone has the Hebrew, fine. Okay. So, there was a famous story in Brachot, okay, those of you who started from the beginning, we saw it in Brachot, about, and if not, you probably heard the story, about Rabban Gamliel and Rabbi Yoshua. Rabban Gamliel embarrasses Rabbi Yoshua, and then everyone gets upset at Rabban Gamliel, and they kick him out for being the Nasi, they bring in Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. One of the things that happened was that Rabban Gamliel had a very closed approach, and he didn't let everybody into the Beit Midrash. And he had a thing, everyone had to be checked. There was a guard at the door who would check. Obviously, who knows how he checked this. Im tocho kibaho. If you're inside, we're like you're outside. And you were a good person inside. And, it was a very, exclusionary Beit Midrash. And then when Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah took over the head of the Beit Midrash, so he basically opened the doors to everybody. Now, the day that everybody opened the doors, okay, is called all over Shas, at least this is the assumption, Bo Bayom, on that day, okay? It was this day in history. On that day, what was so unique about what happened on that day? All of a sudden, there were tons of people in the Beit Midrash, and people were just talking about lots and lots of things. There was a lot of Rishushim, and all different people brought these halachot, all of Masechet Eduyot, if you've heard of Masechet Eduyot, it's all Eduyot that people brought on that day, okay? I don't know if the whole thing is, but I think so. But it's all, okay, we'll see what we get there, but Bo Bayom is this day that, actually, is there a Gemara in Edu? Yeah. So anyway, Bo Bayom is that day. There were tons of things taught. And today, we're going to mention one of the things taught. And because of that, they're going to teach us a whole bunch of other halachot that were taught on that day. Okay? Kishem, and then there's some interesting back and forth we're going to see. Kishem shehamayim bodkim ota, kach hamayim bodkin oto. Okay, we talked about this before. Just like the water checks her, the water also checks him. Obviously, the Gemara is going to ask, who's the him? Like, what does the husband need checking? It's obviously not going to be the husband. It's going to be the guy she slept with. Okay? And we talked about this, that the whole idea is when she dies at that moment, he dies also wherever he is. Obviously, her death is much more public and humiliating, shameful. And his death is obviously much more private. But he also gets punished. Shene'emar, uvau, uvau. What's that? Okay, in two psukim it says, ubau hamayim hamararim. So they say, why does it have to say, right, in the water, that bitter water comes in and destroys? They say, it says it twice, ubau, because it goes into somebody else also. Okay, even though it doesn't physically go into him, but he gets affected. Number two, kashem sh'asura laba'al, kach asura laboel. And just like she becomes forbidden to her husband at the point where she does stira, she also becomes forbidden to the guy she slept with. Right? Until now, we haven't really talked about the Boel. So now they're getting into the Boel himself. Shenemar, nitme'a, vin nitme'a. Okay, you can look at this pasuk in the Torah, or it says, "Zo Torah takneot asher tisteh isha tachad isha v'nitma'a." So what do they say? It could have just said nitma'a. The fact that it says v'nitma'a also comes to include something else. So what does it include? The bo'el also, the guy she slept with. Divrei Rabbi Akiva. Amar Rabbi Yoshua. Rabbi Yoshua now says, Ka Hayad, remember, he was the main player. Well, we're actually now up to Boba Yom, but we'll see. But he appears a lot here, Rabbi Yeshua. Ka Hayad Doresh Zachariah ben HaKatzav. He says, that's exactly the way Zachariah ben HaKatzav darshan this. But Rabbi Omer, okay, but he's not the only opinion. Rabbi Omer, it's not from the word Vin Nitma'a and the extra Vav. What's it from? Shnei Pa'amim Amurim B'Parsha Nitma'a Vin Nitma'a. Echad Labav Echad Laboa. Now, if you actually look at the parsha, there's four times the word nitma'a appears. So what they're going to say is that two of them, Rashi explains, are used for other drashot. There's two extras that haven't been used for anything. So according to Rebbe, that's how we darshan. There's one nitma'a for the bo'el and one v'nitma'a for the ba'al. And it doesn't have to do with the extra vav. It's just the word nitma'a appearing multiple times. Bo Bayom, okay, so now they're going to say, they're getting into other drashot. Bo Bayom, so this was a drasha of Rabbi Akiva. Now they're going to say, Bo Bayom darash Rabbi Akiva. On that day, Rabbi Akiva darshaned. V'kli cheres asher yipol mehem el tocho, kol asher v'tocho yitma. Okay, we learned this a long time ago. If you have a kli cheres, okay, an earthenware pot, okay, here we're going to see, Rashi's going to comment that, by the way, a lot of earthenware ovens were made of kli cheres. And therefore, the dafka, the example they're going to use is bread that goes inside it, okay? Now, if you put something inside the airspace, okay, it doesn't even have to touch the kli, just in the airspace of this kli cheres, it becomes tameh. So if you have, let's say, a sheretz inside, okay, a sheretz is an avatuma. Okay, if you want some review, okay, we have an avatuma, that's like the main, you know, the davar that's tameh. It can be metame, adam, and kelim. Okay? And the adam and kelim become a rishon lituma. Okay, there's a whole level here. Rishon lituma, so this klecheres that the sheretz is inside is called a rishon lituma. Okay? It's a rishon. Now a rishon lituma can be metame. Anyone remember? Ma'achal u'mashke. Okay, food and drinks, it can't be metame other kelim. If a kli falls in there, the kli is not tame. Okay, there's levels about what can contract tuma to what. So that's metame ma'achal u'mashke. That's called a sheni now. Okay, it's very, right, very organized. What can a sheni lituma be metame?
Person.
Nope. No, a person, we can't go back to a person. Okay, what? Only the ava tuma can be metame adam and kelim. But it can be metame... Okay, it can turn things into a shlishi. It can turn ma'achal u'mashke. Okay, it doesn't go down. It's the same level, the same type of things. But only if they're truma or kodshim. There is no such thing as shlishi lituma unless it's truma or kodshim. And the shlishi lituma can make something into a revi, also ma'achal u'mashke, only for kodshim. Okay, that's how it works. Today we're going to see a different opinion. Okay, but that's the way we paskin. So I want to just... First, clarify how we paskin, okay? So basically you have, just clarify it again, right? The avatuma is the thing itself. The avatuma makes a rishon, right? Which can only be adam and kelim. Then the rishon makes a sheni, which can be ma'achal u'mashke. The sheni makes a shlishi, which can only be, right, ma'achal u'mashke, and for truma or kodshim, okay? And then the revi'i is only kodshim, and it's also ma'achal u'mashke. Okay, so now, there's a few exceptions. I'm not going to get into the exceptions. This is the basics. Okay, now, what did he say? U'kli cheres asher yipol mehem el tocho, that's the pasuk, okay? If it falls inside the kli. Okay, this is, by the way, as opposed to it touching the outside of the kli. So it has to come into the airspace. There's different laws about different kelim. Other kelim, like matechet, I believe, if you touch the outside of the kli, it becomes tame. And if you're in the airspace, it's not tame. But kli cheres is dafka that if it goes in the airspace, it's tame. Kol asher b'tocho yitma. What does he say? It should have said kol asher b'tocho tame. Why does it say yitma? Eino omer tame ela yitma. What does yitma mean? It will be mitame. Okay, litame achirim. Lamed al kikar sheni shemitame et hashlishi. It says, okay, so now let's go back to our picture. Here's our kli cheres. Here's our loaf of, there's a sheretz inside. So that metame the kli. Now the kli is going to metame this bread, okay, this kikar of lechem. Now that kikar of lechem is a sheni. And according to this, right, that's the subject of the sentence. The kli cheres asher yipol mehem el tocho, kol asher b'tocho, like the bread, yitma. So what do they say, yitma? Yitame will make something else tame. So according to him, right, he disagrees with the halacha that I said before. Limed al kikar sheni shemitameyat hashlishi. Okay, and what's the assumption? The assumption is it's not just for truma and kodshim, because the pasuk is klali. It doesn't say only for truma or only for kodshim. So therefore, according to Rabbi Akiva, you can be mitame any, you know, that bread can be mitame another loaf of bread. Again, it wouldn't go up to the level of being mitame adam and kelim, but it would be mitame machal umashket and turn it into a shlishi. Again, like I said, that's not the way we pasken, but, and it's not the general opinion, but that's what he says. Amar Rabbi Yoshua. Rabbi Yoshua now responds to him. We're going to see its response a bunch of times. Mi yigale afar me'enecha Rabban Yochanan ben Zakkai. He says, who will remove the dirt from your eyes, Rabban Yochanan ben Zakkai? Okay, what does that mean? It's a reference to Triyata Metim. Who will make you come back to life and hear what Rabbi Akiva just darshaned? Shahayita Omer, because you used to say when you were alive, Atid dur acher letaher kikar shlishi. She'ein lo mikra min haTorah. You used to say, at some point in the future, they're going to eventually be mitaher this kikar shlishi. Okay, this kli shlishi. He obviously also agreed with Rabbi Akiva, because there's no pasuk. And he thought someday someone's going to come, because there's no pasuk in the Torah that shows that a kli shlishi is mitame, that a sheni can be mitame a shlishi. Shu'utameh. V'halo, Rabbi Akiva tamitcha, mevi lo mikra min haTorah, shu'utameh, shenemar kol asher b'tocho yitma. And here Rabbi Akiva brought a great pasuk to prove what you wanted to say. Okay, so he says, chaval that you're not alive. Now it happens that Rabban Yochanan ben Zakkai was not the rabbi of Rabbi Akiva, because he says, Rabbi Akiva tamitcha. He was a talmid of a talmid. Okay, but they say, you know, he said it anyway, called him his talmid, because talmid of a talmid. Okay, we're going to see the same reference soon also. Bo bayom darash Rabbi Akiva. Another thing Rabbi Akiva darshit. Umidotam michutz la'ir al pe'at ked ma'apayim ba'ama. Okay, this is talking about the Arei Leviim. Okay, the Arei Leviim and the space around the Arei Leviim. You're supposed to measure from outside the city 2,000 ama. Okay, if you look at the whole pasuk, if you have the Torah or Bamidbar Lamed Hey, it says umidotam michutz la'ir, so you should measure al pe'at ked ma'apayim ba'ama. Basically, every direction, measure 2,000 amah. This will be like the outskirts of the city. And then it says, in the pasuk right before it, okay, it's strange they're quoting it in this order, it's the migrash that the Levim are getting from outside the city, elef amasaviv. So what do you mean? In that pasuk it says it's elef, 1,000. In the next pasuk it says it's 2,000. What's going on here? Is it 1,000? Is it 2,000? Very confusing. So Rabbi Akiva darshan these pasukim. And what does he say? So first it says, umadotem michutz la'ir pe'at ked ma'alpayim v'ama v'chule. And then mikra acher amar mikir ha'ir v'chutz elef amas saviv. I efshar lomar elef amah, shekvar ne'amar alpayim, right? You can't say 1,000 if it already said 2,000. The I efshar lomar alpayim amah, shekvar ne'amar elef, and you can't say 2,000 if it already said 1,000. Haketzad, elef amah migrash, v'alpayim amah tchum shabbat. He says the elef amah is really relating to the pasuk itself. The Levim have 1,000 amah around the city that's considered technically their city. But the Alpayim is a reference to Tchum Shabbat. Now, if you go back, way back to when we learned this, there was a machloket about whether Tchum Shabbat is Mida Oraita or Mida Rabbana, and this is what it's based on. So Rabbi Akiva obviously thinks it's Oraita, because he says, this pasuk of Alpayim Ba'ama is really talking about Tchum Shabbat, because it can't possibly, it doesn't say these words here, but it's almost like, we've seen this before, Imeno Inyan, Lizet, Neu Inyan, if it can't be for what the context is, it must be for something else. So that's how he darshans this. But Rabbi Leizer, Benosha, Rabbi Yossi, Aglili Omer, there's a different opinion. Elef amah migrash, v'alpayim amah sadot ukramim. Okay, the elef amah is for this outside, like a border of the city. Okay, like a Rashi says, rechavap pnuya mizri'al mi batimu mi ilanot linoi ha'ir. Liot la lavir. This is like what you think about when, right, they're building these roads and they say it's terrible. They're destroying the city by cutting down all the trees. And right, you need to have green space. Okay, right? It's like the Yiriyah. There's all this designated green space. So the 1,000 amah is green space. And outside of that, now there's two ways of understanding this alpayim amah. Some people say so what it says here is, right, here's the city. There's 1,000 amah for the migrash that's just green space. And then you have, now it's going to be a question exactly how we do this, you have another space outside, which is for sadot and kramim. Okay, which you also see outside cities. Like, you know, there's always these spaces of just fields outside the cities. Now the question here is it an additional 2,000 or is the 2,000 including the 1,000? So there's a machloket among the mepharshim, whether they get an extra 2,000 outside the 1,000 or they just get 1,000 outside the 1,000, and it means 2,000 outside the city. A machloket about that. Okay, so that's the machloket, whether this 1,000 and 2,000 both relate to the city of the Levi'im or one relates to Chum Shabbat and one doesn't. Another thing, the Bo Bayom. Bo Bayom Darash Rabbi Akiva, by the way, these are all drashot of Rabbi Akiva also. Az Yashir Moshe v'nei Yisrael et ha-shira zo la-Hashem v'yomru le'mor. The whole question is, what did B'nai Yisrael say? Okay, right, what does it say? V'yomru le'mor? What does it say? What the next words? Ashira la-Hashem ki ga'o ga'as tusfurfo rama v'yam. So, she'ein tamud lomar le'mor. There's no reason to say v'yomru le'mor. Why didn't it just say v'yomru? Umatam alomar lemor melamed shayu Yisrael onim shira acharav shal Moshe al kol davar v'davar ki korin et ha'alel. Meaning, Ashir Lashem ki ga'o ga'a was a pizmon. And every time Moshe would say something, they would then have the refrain, Ashir Lashem ki ga'o ga'a. Okay, that, it's in parentheses here, you know, whether you need to say those words or not, but that seems to be the way to read it. Okay, in other words, whether the words appear here in the text or not, that's what the meaning is. It's like they read the halel, it was, you know, the refrain. Lechach ne'emar, which by the way teaches us about how they read halal, right? Where do we do that in halal nowadays? Right? They were all different minhagim, they were reading halal, but hodu lashem kitov kilam chasto. Lechach ne'emar lemur. That's why it says lemur, to teach that they sung a refrain. Rabbi Nechemya omer, ki korin et shma, velo ki korin et halal. No, he says it was recitation. They said it, Moshe said it, and they said it. Moshe said it, they said it, repetition, right? They, what?
Which we do sometimes in shul.
With
pasuk,
what?
Pasuk.
In
Azashir? Shira, yeah.
Oh, on Shabbat Shira, right. People sing it like that, exactly, responsively. So there, they actually said every word of the Shira, not the refrain. Okay. Bo Bayom Tarash Rabbi Yoshua ben Horkanus. Okay, here, okay, by the way, I think it was in the Koran, they talk about him, he's not a guy who appears anywhere else. Question is whether he's related to Rabbi Lezer ben Horkanus or not. Anyway, he added drasha here. Lo avad Iyov HaKadosh Baruch Hu ela me'ahava. Iyov worshipped Hashem out of love. Shene'emar. Okay, by the way, if you notice, right now, this story seems different from all the others. Why? How did we get to all the other stories? It was Bo Bayom, Darash, Rabbi Akiva. Okay, we started with the Drasha of Rabbi Akiva. We got from there to Bo Bayom, Darash, Rabbi Akiva, all these statements. And here we have a different Drasha that someone did Bo Bayom. You'll see why it's connected in a minute. So lo avad Iyov HaKadosh Baruch Hu ela me'ahava. He loved God. He worshipped God out of love. Shene'emar, hein yiktaleni lo ayachel. If right, even if he's going to kill me, I will beseech him. Is that the how do they translate it? Yearn for him. Okay, I will yearn for him. Va'adayin hashdavar shakul. Okay, it's still not clear. Lo ani mitzapeh. Oh, eini mitzapeh. So now there's two ways to read this. Okay. It means the same thing. But the question is, does lo mean, one way of reading it is like this. Does the lo is with a vav. Now, lo could also be with an aleph, and sometimes they switch, right? You can imagine they switch for, right, people mistake them, or they just switch. Is it lo ayachel? If he were to kill me, I would not, what did you say the word was? I would not yearn for him. Or is it, I will yearn for him. Okay, it could be itself and the opposite. Or a better explanation, instead of switching low and low, which is, even though maybe you can see people switching, it's still complicated. It says vav, it doesn't say aleph. But maybe it means, hey nikteleni, right? How can you punctuate this? Lo ayachel, will I still yearn for him if he were to kill me? Right? You can ask it as a question rather than where we all know there's no punctuation in the Torah. So maybe it could be a question. I think that's a better explanation. So therefore, how do we know the answer? Whether he really would still go to God even if he were to kill him, in which case it would be out of Ahava. Talmud Lamar, Ad Egva, until the day of my death, Lo Asir Tumati Mimenu. I will never leave my Tmimut with God. Okay, I will be constantly with God. Milamed Shame Ahavasa. So they bring a different pasuk in Iyov to explain how to explain this pasuk. That's what he darshaned. So now we're going to see why this is connected. Amar Rabbi Yeshua, mi yigale afar me'enecha Rabban Yochanan ben Zakkai, right? Who will remove, who will wake you from the dead to hear this drasha? Shayita doresh kol yamecha, shelo avad Iyov et hamakom ela miyirah. Shenemar ish tam v'yashar yirei Elohim v'sar me'rah. Okay, you always said that Iyov worshipped God from yirah. And had you seen this pasuk, you would have understood that he really worshipped God out of Ahava. Why did you say that? Because it said, Ish tam v'yashar, yirei Elohim. He was a God-fearing man, meaning he came to God out of fear. B'sar meira. B'halo, Yoshua, tamid tamidcha. Again, right here it says, tamid tamidcha. Lamad shame Ahava. Okay, and he would have shown you the truth. I don't know what to make of it, this concept that he wants to basically resuscitate, you know, bring him back from the dead, Rabban Yochanan ben Zakkai, to show him all these things that the later rabbis taught. Almost maybe it's trying to give a sense of, you know, sometimes you don't understand the full picture and only later do things become clear. You know, there's some, think about what exactly, it's interesting, there's a structure that repeats itself, and particularly Rabbi Yeshua is the one who keeps repeating it, and it was all on the same day, right? In other words, there was this, I think maybe what you can see what's going on, and maybe it's a reaction, particularly Rabbi Yeshua saying this to Rabban Gamliel. In the context of that story, Rabban Gamliel had this very tough approach, which obviously Rabbi Yeshua didn't like, because Rabbi Yeshua was always getting the,
Rabban Gamliel wasn't there that day. It was the first
right,
day
no, of... exactly. So the point is that Rabban Gamliel was very takif, you know, and Rabbi Yeshua obviously didn't like his approach. And Rabbi Yeshua is saying, look at what happens when we open the doors to the Beit Midrash. There's all these things that we get to learn that no one ever knew before. Rabban Yochanan, and as maybe he's referencing Rabban Yochanan ben Zakkai to say to people, look, even the dead would have been amazed by what's going on today. And look at all the Torah that's being learned and the things that we never heard before because we didn't have all these people in the room and we didn't have all this learning going on. And maybe it was a reaction and showing, look, this is clearly the right way to go, to open the doors of the Beit Midrash and not to keep them closed. So it could be that these Mishnayot could be seen in that context. It is a strong statement, but that whole story is a strong statement. I mean, you have to remember, that whole story, whether it happened exactly or not, is a whole different story, and we talked about it then, that the version in the Bavli is very different from the version in the Yerushalmi, and that the Bavli was trying to take it to a place where clearly there were a lot of tensions going on in the Beit Midrash, and they were trying to use it as a way to teach the people a lesson about how the Beit Midrash should be working. So, you know, there's also that to add to the story and the picture. This happens to be a Mishnah, which isn't Bavli or Yerushalmi related, but clearly there was some issue going on. And it could be that's what they're trying to get at. Yeah.